You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 335.
On Flopcast.net.
Yes, hello, Cornflake.
Well, hey there, Kevin.
I think today, the theme of today's show, by the way, we're still drinking iced coffee. It's October
yes,
now.
Yes, yum.
It's October. Let's observe that by request from Cornflake, we're still on the iced coffee.
Here, here.
But this is going to change one of these days.
Maybe.
Or unless I lose the fish heads bet. Which we still, as we record, we have not worked out the details of our fish heads bet yet.
Yeah, we're still thinking it through.
But the bet is Super Mega Fest, which is next week as this show comes out. There's a Lost in Space reunion happening at Super Mega Fest, including Bill Mumy.
Right.
Will Robinson on Lost in Space, and he was the kid on Twilight Zone, and he was one of the freaky aliens on Babylon 5, and we all love Bill Mumy. But he's also done a lot of music over the years, his own solo work, and with several different bands he's been part of, currently the Action Skulls. And Seduction of the Innocent, his comic book band. And of course, for our purposes as comedy music nerds, Bill Mumy was one half of Barnes & Barnes, best known for Fish Heads.
Yep.
Cornflake thinks that Billy Mumy at his, he's doing a concert. He's doing a solo acoustic concert at Super Mega Fest. I'm going to go. You think he's going to play Fish Heads?
Yeah, I do.
I think he's not going to play Fish Heads. That's the bet. And currently, the way the bet currently stands is if I lose, we're going to drink iced coffee during the show all winter.
Yes!
I'm never going to be allowed to switch us over to hot coffee.
For this year.
And if you lose, if he does not play Fish Heads, that's the part we haven't figured out yet.
Yes. But we're hoping that in the meantime, the audience has made some suggestions.
We're days away from the concert by the time the show comes out. So we'll have to nail down what the bet is, the stakes of the bet by now. But we'll figure it out. Anyway, there's a Fish Heads bet
it's
underway.
Funny listening to us try to bet things because it's just not something we do.
We're just the worst. Kenny Rogers would be disgusted by our lack of gambling expertise.
I shudder to think of Kenny Rogers' judgment upon us.
Oh, he'd judge us for a lot of reasons,
it's
I think.
It's true.
We don't have beards. Folks do call us yellow. We have that going for us. We are cowards of the county.
We do have chickens, just for different
reasons.
Chickens.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I don't fry chickens the way Kenny does.
Yeah.
I let the chickens be.
That's true.
Like Michael Bolton. All right, let's go. We have a couple things to cover today, one of which is National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
Kevin, I'm holding National Whatever Day hostage.
Okay.
Because you keep discussing this chickens in the news segment that we're supposed to have.
Yes, we've had a chicken in the news story on reserve for several weeks now because it keeps getting bumped for one reason or another.
Is it happening this week?
No.
Well then.
The best thing about this is that this is maybe the stupidest chickens in the news ever, and we just keep postponing it and building up the suspense.
I'm inclined to withhold National Whatever Day until we get an assurance of this chickens in the news because I help put this show together and I don't know what it is.
Yeah, we just don't have time today.
Ah, geez.
Do you have anything for us for Whatever Day? Or
yeah.
Are you withholding Whatever Day until you learn about a chicken?
Well, the birthday is going to happen whether I mention it or not.
Another celebrity birthday.
I guess I couldn't stand my ground here, but yeah. Chevy Chase is turning 75 this year.
Chevy, okay.
Yeah, 75 on October 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of him as Clark Griswold. From National Lampoon's.
National Lampoon's Vacation, the series.
Yes.
They've made a lot of them.
But also from Saturday Night Live.
Original cast.
Yes.
Saturday Night Live. And he was there for season one. And if I have the timeline straight, he left, I think, early in season two.
Mm-hmm.
He left the show to go be a movie star.
But he was the one who started that news segment that they still have today.
Sure. You know, Weekend
he
Update.
Was the originator of Weekend Update.
Well, let's run through some of his credits over the years. What do we like from Chevy Chase? You know, a big one for me would be Caddyshack.
Right. And honestly, that was the big reason why I picked his birthday as our National Whatever Day, is because we talk about Caddyshack so much on the show. Because
he's made a lot of bad movies and stupid movies, but he has made a lot of good ones as well.
They can't all be winners.
Yeah, such as the Vacation movies. And I've only seen some of the Vacation movies, so I cannot speak to the quality of, say, Vegas Vacation. I've never seen. And I've never even seen Christmas Vacation all the way through. I've just seen it in bits and pieces.
That floors me.
Yeah, I know. People are shocked by that.
That is a classic.
I've just caught a moment or two here and there. And yet, the first two, original and European, I like very much. And the remake, they did a new Vacation movie just a couple of years ago, where the premise was it was the son, Rusty, the son from the Vacation movies. Now he's all grown up, and he takes his family on a vacation. And it was Ed Helms.
Huh.
Played Rusty, and his wife was Christina Applegate, you know, from Married with Children.
Yeah.
And Chevy and Beverly D'Angelo are his parents, you know, so they do have a part in the movie as well, you know, as Clark and what's-her-name Griswold. And that sounds like the recipe for disaster as far as making a movie, you know,
to
have the son make a new Vacation movie. But and Ed Helms was not. He did not play Rusty Griswold in the original movies, but they recast the kids for every movie.
Right.
You know? So that's part of a long, proud tradition of recast the kids. So they did that yet again. But I happened to watch it like on cable a year or so ago, and it's very good.
Wow.
Yeah. The new Vacation movie.
Funny how things turn out.
Surprisingly, I really enjoyed it. I never saw Fletch, because I know people love the Fletch movies.
Yeah.
Or at least the first one. People speak highly of the first one, if not the second one.
Not so much the second one?
I haven't seen either one of them.
Mm.
You?
I've not. But I think I should. I think I would like it.
Have you seen Memoirs of an Invisible Man? I have not.
No.
What he was very good in recently was Community.
Right.
The TV series Community, which he left at some point. He wasn't there for the whole run, but for most of it, the first few seasons, he had Chevy Chase as a much older student at a community college. And he was very funny in that.
Yeah, there's always that guy.
So Joel McHale was the star of Community. And Joel McHale played Chevy Chase in that new movie they made this year, which we talked about on the show. There's a movie called A Futile and Stupid Gesture. It's a movie about Doug Kenny, who was the writer who started National Lampoon. And he wrote or co-wrote Animal House and Caddyshack. Will Forte plays Doug Kenny in this movie. But Joel McHale, who worked with Chevy on Community, Joel McHale plays Chevy Chase in this movie.
Remarkable.
And very well, yeah. Even though apparently they did not get along. But he did a nice job playing him.
But it was an amazing character study, was it?
Yes, yes. He used the time to study Chevy, knowing that one day I shall be Chevy. He's a three amigo as well. He's an amigo.
That's right.
That's an important Chevy Chase credit. Now, I saw the other two amigos a few years ago. We went to see the live show that Steve Martin and Martin Short do. They've been touring for a few years now with this big, crazy stage show together, which is called, I think, An Evening That You Will Forget for the Rest of Your Life.
Which should also, therefore, be called The Two Amigos.
And well, they do acknowledge in the show, at least when we saw them, they had a bit where they acknowledge that we have two of the three amigos here. And they do a bit where they pull somebody out of the audience to be the third amigo. They put a hat on them. They do that Three Amigos routine with somebody pulled out of the audience.
Which just goes to show how replaceable Chevy Chase is.
It could be Joel McHale. It could be any random person in the audience when Steve Martin and Martin Short do a show. Yeah, anybody can be Chevy Chase. That's our lesson here today.
Happy birthday.
And I also believe Chevy played drums with Steely Dan at one point. Before there were Steely Dan. Walter Becker and Donald Fagen, I think they went to school with Chevy Chase, and he was actually working in bands with those guys back then. So there's a weird music credit from Chevy that most people probably don't know about.
I certainly didn't.
I may be completely wrong about that, but that's what I seem to remember just now. Thank you. All right, let's move on. Happy birthday, Chevy.
We love driving our fact checkers buggy.
Here's something weird I did. Remember, we didn't address this last week because we were busy catching up on everything else we've been doing. But in previous shows, I've been plugging a weird live show of mine called After These Messages. Remember?
Yes.
We've been begging people to show up in Haverhill, Massachusetts.
Yes.
And this was my old band, Sponge Awareness Foundation, which was me and Ed. It's me with my beautiful singing voice.
Angelic, really.
It is angelic. That's how most critics described us over the years.
Yes.
Man, that guy sings like an angel, that Sponge guy. It was me, I'm the singer, and Ed was the keyboardist, and we were the Sponge Awareness Foundation. This was not a Sponge Awareness show, but it was me and Ed and Mike, Ed's brother Mike, who played guitar with us over the years many times with Sponge Awareness. And the fourth member of this weird new band of ours was Carl. Carl, I originally knew as a member of Duck Duck.
Yes.
Which was a big, wacky band based out of Lowell, Massachusetts, back in the day. And Carl played saxophone with Duck Duck, and then went on to play saxophone with the Shods, which was sort of a sequel band to Duck Duck.
So you had a Duck Duck,
yeah.
Sponge Awareness Foundation,
yeah.
And didn't Mike's band, weren't they called Tricycle?
Yes.
Okay, so you had a Sponge Duck Tricycle on stage.
Wow, you were working hard to put together a combo name for this band. That's what we should have called the band. Yes. Yeah, Mike had a band called Tricycle, a kind of a cool rock trio back in the 90s, I think. And Carl, yeah, I knew Carl first as a sax player, but Carl can play everything. So we put together a super group, if you will, a Traveling Wilburys style.
A super Sponge Duck trick.
The name of the band was After These Messages, and the concept was we did this show just performing TV theme songs.
Right.
And this was at a pub in Haverhill, Massachusetts, just a few days ago as we record.
Called The Lasting Room.
Yeah, it's a place called The Lasting Room. That was a nice place.
I liked it.
I'd certainly never been there before.
If you ever get a chance to check it out, the staff there is awesome.
They seem very cool.
Very nice.
I hear the bartenders were dancing to the TV theme songs. I couldn't really see them from the stage area.
And they made me a very yummy Shirley Temple.
Oh, nice. The Shirley Temple going old school.
Yeah.
Nice. I hear the fries were excellent.
Oh, I missed
out. I was told they have really, really good fries there. So anybody, if you get back to the Lasting Room in Haverhill, Massachusetts, try the fries.
And the Shirley Temples.
And the Shirley, get it? There you go.
Yum.
We've set up your whole meal for you. Have a Shirley Temple and some fries.
Do it.
So yeah, that's the premise for this show. What a wacky show.
It was.
You know? I had little to nothing to do with setting this up, I should say. Like, I just got a call. Hey, we're putting this thing together. Are you in?
Oh, you can't fool me. This is totally your idea.
It sounds like it would be my idea, doesn't it?
It really does.
Because all we do is talk about goofy shows from the 70s and 80s around here. And this was, we're doing a concert of TV theme songs, mostly from the 70s and 80s. But this was not my idea. I did not even meet the person who thought of this until the night of the show. So this was a woman named Kate put this together.
Oh.
And I didn't know her. I'd never met her. I met her that night at the Lasting Room.
This was Kate's idea.
This was Kate's brainstorm. This was her
idea.
I think
I've met Kate before.
Yeah?
Yes.
I think you did. Yes, 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 you did.
She was in the car as I was driving people around for They Might Be Giants shows.
Last summer, yes. Kate and Mike were among your passengers when you were taxiing people to that concert, They Might Be Giants. Yes.
See, I always knew she was brilliant.
Yes, very, very cool lady. This was her idea, it turns out. So yeah, thanks to Kate and thanks to The Lasting Room and everybody that set this up, because I was just along for the ride. I had little input into the set list as well. I was just presented, here's a big long list of songs we can do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that mostly came from Kate as well, because I was wondering, who put these songs together?
Magnificent.
Now the band, if I had to sum up After These Messages, the band, in a word, that word would be under-rehearsed.
Yep.
We did not have time to prepare as much as I wish we had.
I think I'd give you a little more credit if yeah. I were the one to characterize you guys. And as somebody who was in the audience that night, I would say raw natural talent.
A lot of raw.
That's, you were rockers in the raw,
yeah.
If you will.
We had one rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
Now that rehearsal was 5 hours long.
Wow.
We had one big, fat, 5 hour long rehearsal. But this was an extensive set list. We did a lot of songs. We did like about 3 dozen songs, I think, that night. So there's a lot of material to go through. And also, we were down a man at rehearsal.
Whoops.
So one rehearsal, only 3 out of the 4 of us were at that rehearsal.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, this was a challenge. And the other challenge as far as getting ready is these songs, TV theme songs. A lot of these songs are available in several different
right.
formats.
There are like, variations.
Yeah, there's a lot of variant versions of all these songs.
Of where the songs end, how long
yeah.
they are.
How do we start? How do we end? Are we going to include these extra lyrics that they didn't do on TV?
And oftentimes you did, and that makes
me
tried really happy.
We tried to include some extra lyrics when we could that most people had never heard before.
Because this, so I think of Full House, for example.
Yeah.
When Full House came out, there was a very long song at the beginning, and I loved it. And in future seasons, they truncated the song, and I missed those extra lyrics.
Yeah.
Because I remembered them.
Full House, I believe, was one of the songs that was in the set originally, and we rehearsed it, and that was one of the songs that got cut. So we did not perform Full House. It was on the menu originally.
But in its original form?
There were some extra, yeah, there, I think there were some extra verses and stuff in it. Yeah,
that's the stuff. But but on the other hand, for a band rehearsing the songs, it's a lot of extra work.
Yeah, so Ed tracked down like recordings of all these songs, but some of the recordings were bizarre. So it got very complicated trying to figure out what we were doing. So I knew going in, there was going to be a lot of, how do we start this? How do we end it? What's going on? How do we make this transition? Are we doing this part? Is there an instrumental break here? When do I come back in? What's my note? There was a lot of that. So there were some bumpy moments for all of us throughout this set, but it was fine. It was fun. We're just there to goof around, you know. Wish we could have been a little more rehearsed, but we did as best we could, and I think it made for a fun evening for all involved. And we had a nice crowd there as well. I was very happy with the number of people that actually showed up.
And a lot of singing along, too.
People were singing along, which was nice. Yeah, it was a super fun night. We had prizes. We had trivia questions. I was trying to keep the questions relatively simple, but I think I could have dialed them down even more than I did.
Well, you had no idea what to expect. But
yeah. If anyone was coming even close, I was like, yes, fine. Come get a t-shirt.
Go get several prizes.
Yeah. Because we had a lot of stuff to give away. The Lasting Room provided a bunch of t-shirts and hats and stuff from
Cup cozies.
Yeah. Yeah. From different breweries and stuff. I think there was like Sierra Nevada t-shirts and Youngling beer and that kind of stuff. Had a bunch of shirts and hats to give out, plus some gift cards for the pub as well.
For the really hard questions.
Yeah, I tried to make those harder questions for the $15 gift cards. So super fun night, then we had some prizes. What I thought for today's show was let's just run through the set list and talk about these shows, but just the first half for the sake of time.
Fair enough.
I think we're going to break this into two episodes.
Right.
So we started, and you were not there, we have to say. You had some car trouble. Which we do not even have time to get into all the weird car trouble you had.
But let's just say some people would have gotten an Uber with the car trouble they had. No, I went out and got a whole other car so I could come to this show.
It was a rainy night, and you love a rainy night.
Just like Eddie Rabbit.
You're like Eddie Rabbit normally. But yeah, you had some malfunctioning windshield wipers.
Right.
You had to abandon one car, go to a second car.
And then come out, because I wasn't missing this. So, and even though the car wasn't working, I actually wasn't terribly well. And so that presented a bit of a conflict when people wanted to give hugs. I kind of had to put a disclaimer on that and say, I'll give you a hug, but you might also get some germs. And most people took them, which I thought was really nice. So to all the people who got sick after these messages, I apologize.
You were infecting everyone in Haverhill. Yeah, during intermission, Ed mentioned to me, he was like, hey, where's Cornflake? And I said, oh yeah, where is Cornflake?
Standing in the rain.
You showed up early in the second set.
Yes. I wasn't missing this for the world.
I did spot you in the crowd.
Yeah, I wasn't going to miss this.
Early in the second set. So you don't even know what we did in the first set.
I don't.
This is all a surprise to you. We opened the show with the Muppet Show.
Wow.
Yeah, so what a goofy start. Even that was hard to work out, because, like, what parts do we do?
Right.
Because even the version that we had a recording of didn't have the Statler and Waldorf part.
Oh, why do we always come here?
I would not stand for that. I said, no, we have to do Statler and Waldorf.
Right. You know? That's necessary.
Yeah. So that was an appropriate introduction to the show, I guess, was Muppet
it's
Show.
It's like a kind of torture to have to watch this
It really was a kind of torture, I think, for all involved. Now, Carl was playing guitar that night. He did not have the sax with him. So we did not end with a zoot saxophone blast.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what Carl had, though? Carl, well, you know, you were there.
Right.
Carl had the vocal harmonizing background vocal thing.
Oh.
You know? Did you notice?
No, I did not.
You didn't notice how it sounded like several people singing in harmony on the background parts?
I thought that was the crowd singing. You could tell people were having a good time because the crowd was singing along.
He had that thing where he hits a pedal and then his singing automatically comes out as harmonized background vocals at the same time.
I thought the crowd was doing that. I thought we had exceptional singers in the audience.
So impressed by the harmonizing from the crowd.
I was.
Wow.
It beat all of my expectations, but it was just Carl fooling me.
The second song we did, I knew Muppet Show might be a little rough, so I thought I want something strong for the second song. And I knew we could pull this one off quite handily, and that was Jefferson's.
Oh, yeah.
Moving on up, you know?
Yes. To a deluxe apartment in the sky.
Yeah, I got to dig into my roots. You know, I got started singing in my gospel choir, you know, as a young child in the Deep South in the 1920s. You know my roots.
Those are not your roots.
You saw my Behind the Music episode, didn't you? Yeah, I love that Jefferson's theme, and we were able to pull that one off easily enough, I think. That's a fun song, easy to do. Crowd gets into it, you know. Love the Jeffersons. I think I had some Jeffersons trivia questions after that.
Did you finally get your piece of the pie?
finally got a big angry anchovy pie. I think I asked a trivia question about Mr. Bentley.
Of course you did.
I love Mr. Bentley.
Yeah, you do.
We rolled from that into Golden Girls. Thank you for being a friend.
There are a lot of different versions of that song.
Well, we went back to the original song, which was a hit song. Like, yeah. Andrew Gold.
Andrew Gold, yep.
Was the dude back in the early 80s. Because that song predates the show by several years.
That's
true. Golden Girls was 85, I think, when it started. That started mid-80s, and this was early 80s. Andrew Gold, who's kind of forgotten these days. People don't talk about Andrew Gold anymore, do they?
They don't.
It's a shame.
It is.
He was on MTV a lot, back in the very early days of MTV. And that is not an MTV artist, what you would think of. But back then, MTV would show anybody that had a video, you qualify, you're in. Just because they were so starved for material back then. When they first went on the air, people weren't making many videos.
But he had them.
Andrew Gold had videos, and so Andrew Gold was on MTV.
Because he strikes me as so much more of a VH1 guy.
Really. Yeah, well, there was no VH1 in 1981.
That's the truth.
There was just MTV, and MTV was stuck showing Andrew Gold videos. So yeah, we did the Andrew Gold version, which has extra lyrics that were not part of the Golden Girls version. But although we did cut off the end of the song, here's where there's a furious argument within the band. We almost broke up.
Ooh.
But Carl wanted to go all the way to the end of the song. Because the song gets weird. The Andrew Gold version, it goes up through when they die.
Yep.
And we cut that part out just because it's slow and weird. And we thought, you know what? We got a lot of songs to get through. We're going to cut out the death verse. And I think Carl really wanted to do the death verse.
Aw, sorry, Carl.
Well, show up for rehearsal next time, Carl.
Yep.
Carl was stuck with a lot of things happening against his will because he was not at rehearsal. Including the very next song, actually, in which we did Those Were the Days, All in the Family. And guess who was informed that he would be playing the part of Edith Bunker?
Carl.
But that was for the best anyway, because Carl went full Edith Bunker. He did it.
Oh, wow.
And if I was doing Edith, I would not have actually tried to do the screeching high Edith Bunker voice, but he went for it. He did it successfully as well. He could hit those notes. But we did a longer version of Those Were the Days, which include a lot of verses which were not on TV. Weird verses.
Appropriate?
I would say straying into inappropriate.
Yep.
There's a line about circus freaks.
Yep.
Do you know it? Do you know the long version?
I know the long version has some stuff in it that's questionable. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't get too bad. But yeah, that's probably the worst part is people seem to be content. $50 paid the rent. Freaks were in a circus tent.
Yes.
Yes. There's like three or four verses that were never on TV.
Knowing how Archie Bunker rolls, I know that there's a bit to that. You know, who he classifies as freaks.
Oh, man. That was weird.
Good song.
But we did it.
That was for the dice.
The next song has some weird problematic lyrics as well, and that's the Mary Tyler Moore theme song, Love Is All Around. There's an extra verse for that song, which I had never heard before. The TV version has two different versions, because they completely switched up the lyrics, depending on what season you're watching. Now, the Joan Jett version, which I love. Did you know Joan Jett did this song?
No.
There's a Joan Jett cover of Love Is All Around, the Mary Tyler Moore theme. And Joan does both the TV verses in her version. It's really cool. It's fast, it's rock, it's fantastic. Check it out. Anyway, Ed found this version for us to rehearse from, in which there's a second verse, which I was shocked by. Shocked by how inappropriate, super sexist song lyrics. I was texting Ed that day. When I listened to it, I was texting like, Ed, wow, Ed, Mary Tyler Moore verse 2, what's going on? We cannot do this. It's hilarious in how horrifying it is, but we all agreed, or three of us agreed at rehearsal. We're like, no, we can't do that, but we'll do both verses the way Joan Jett did.
Okay, so what was the other verse?
Now we get a message from Carl.
Oh, dear.
Because Carl wants to do the song. We're picking out who's going to sing lead. I was singing lead on some songs. Carl was singing lead on some songs.
Okay.
Carl says he wants to do Mary Tyler Moore. So fine. All right. Take it, man. It's yours. Then we hear back from Carl. And Carl says, I'm going to do the sexist verse. And again, I thought, fine. You know, if you acknowledge going in, this is a ridiculous sexist verse.
Right.
Then I think, and we can all have a laugh
over
it.
He's not defending it.
Yeah. I think we're good. So we even explain that to the audience. We're going to do this goofy, inappropriate verse that you never even heard on TV. We play the song. Carl sings the first verse, and then he sings the second verse, but he did the two verses like Joan Jett did, that we know from TV. Carl thought that one of those verses was what we had been referring to as the sexist verse.
Oh my goodness!
Which explained a lot. It was like, oh yeah, no wonder Carl thought it's fine to do this verse, because it is fine.
It's really okay.
Yeah.
So it went
I think Carl was just looking at verses like, how will you make it on your own? This world is awfully big, and girl, this time you're all alone, but it's time to start. I guess Carl thought that was what we thought was the sexist part. But oh no, Carl, that's not the sexist part. So luckily I had all the lyrics with me, and I said, the song ended, and I said, Carl, that was not the sexist verse. But I do have the lyrics right here. So then Carl proceeded to perform just that extra verse for the amusement of the audience after that, just reading from my lyrics.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, here it is. I'll read it right now.
Okay, thank you.
Here's the sexist verse. It goes, you are most likely to succeed. You have the looks and charms, and girl, you know that's all you need. All the men around adore you. That sexy look will do wonders for you.
I want to punch this song in the face.
That's the verse they did not do on TV, and you know... Good.
Good. Yeah, exactly.
We did Cheers next. Speaking of a song with weird extra verses in it, Cheers.
Yeah.
The Cheers theme is bizarre. We skipped all the extra, completely insane extra verses of Cheers, but they're out there.
Yes.
That's a crazy song. Beautiful song.
It really is.
But man, the guy went, whoever wrote that just went nuts with the lyrics.
Who was there to stop him?
Yeah, and this I was aware of before. I'd heard the long version of Cheers many times before, so I knew how crazy it got. We did Gilligan's Island after that.
That's got to be a staple of a show like
this. Yeah, so we're dipping back to the 60s at this point. We combined the opening lyrics and the closing lyrics. Because, you know, there's the closing of the show has its own whole separate set of lyrics. So we did them both. You know, because you got to go into the end with the no phone, no lights, no motor cars, not a single luxury. You know, you got to do that. So we did the whole ending part as well. The big question, if you're going to sing Gilligan's Island, do you go the Professor and Marianne, or do you go and the rest?
The Professor and Marianne.
I think that's what we did. We did Professor and Marianne.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a conversation though. Just because it was so ridiculous right out of the gate. The original version of the Gilligan's Island theme, you only have seven people to name. They named five people and then said, and the rest. They left the professor and Marianne hanging. And I guess people were furious.
Yeah.
I guess the show got a lot of complaints and they had to go back into the studio and re-record and drop in Professor and Marianne.
I love that this is people's priority back in the day. Change the version of your theme song.
Most of the Gilligan's Island fan fiction authors were shipping Professor and Marianne, I think, at the time. So they really wanted them to be named in the opening theme. They're very important characters. We did Different Strokes next. That's easy enough.
The show with Sir Todd Bridges.
Your favorite Todd Bridges. Yeah, this was easy enough. Different Strokes. And there are no weird extra lyrics to Different Strokes. As far as we can tell, what you hear on the show is all there is.
Because not everything in the world is horrifying.
In this case, the world did move to the beat of just one drum.
Good.
Carl actually made a discovery, though, because Carl was a member of Duck Duck back in the 90s. And I love Duck Duck, just this big, crazy band. And my band, Sponge Awareness, used to open for Duck Duck back in the early 90s. But Duck Duck had a song called Armies of the Duck. And part of that song just completely lifted a piece of the Different Strokes theme song.
Oh!
I mean, the lyrics and the melody were exactly the same. And Carl never knew it.
Oh!
Until this week. Until he learned the Different Strokes theme song, and he said, wait a minute. So from Different Strokes, it made sense to roll right into Facts of Life. It's a spinoff show. We did the spinoff theme song.
Yes.
I think both theme songs were written by Alan Thicke. He wrote a bunch of theme songs.
Who sang Facts of Life?
I took the lead on Facts of Life, and I kind of tripped up. There's some tricky lyrics in the middle. I was not too well rehearsed on the secret middle verse of Facts of Life.
I remember that being cut out in later shows.
Well, there's a verse that was never even on the show at all. There are several different versions of Facts of Life. Yeah. Season 1 had a whole different lyrics than Season 2 onward. So the original, the Molly Ringwald season, that has completely different lyrics. That starts with, there's a place you've got to go for learning all you want to know about the facts of life. Totally different lyrics. To, you take the good, you take the bad. You know, that's how it starts from Season 2 onward. So we were doing the Season 2 version. There's a verse that they would play during the closing credits. Mm-hmm. So I knew that version. That's the you'll avoid a lot of damage and enjoy the fun of managing the facts of life and so on. They'd use that in the closing credits. I knew that. There's also a verse that I don't think was ever used on TV. And so I clumsily made my way through them at the show. Because yikes, we love the facts of life.
Yeah, we do.
Some of us have the complete series on DVD.
I was going to say, if you have any question about whether or not that verse was ever used, you could watch the DVD, right?
Do you want to sit down and watch the whole series as soon as we're done recording this show?
How can I say no to that?
Get comfortable.
Okay.
Dukes of Hazzard was after this.
I just love that flag.
Carl Fallon, love that flag. Oh, man. Oh, Daisy. Yeah, we mentioned this on the show before. Obviously, one of the many problematic elements of Dukes of Hazzard was that stupid Confederate flag on the top of the General Lee, which was also a problem, but the car. The car had that Confederate flag. And yeah, there was an episode in which Daisy Duke, Catherine Buck, specifically says, I love that flag. Anyway, we did the Dukes of Hazzard theme. Carl took the lead on this one. Followed by... This was a song I was surprised was in the set, but until I learned, okay, Kate put the set together.
Ah.
Because I thought, who wanted to do this? Well, this wouldn't have been Ed or Mike or Carl.
Not something you would have picked.
Who contributed the song? But we did Saved by the Bell.
Nice.
Which was not a show I ever watched. I did know the song, though. Like, I'd seen the opening credits before diving on the remote and changing the channel as fast as I could. So I was...
The song's all right because it's Saved by the Bell.
It's a fun song. Catchy little kind of old-style rock song, you know? So we did sort of a longer version, I think, than even what the TV version was. There's extra verses and stuff in it, but it worked well enough, I think. Fun little song, Saved by the Bell. Did you watch Saved by the Bell?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, You're in the age group for Saved by the Bell.
This song is playing in my head right now. Sorry I missed the After These Messages version of it.
You totally missed me singing Saved by the Bell.
That would have been cool.
Can you imagine? Just like in your dreams. Speaking of songs that you're sorry you missed, we did Perfect Strangers after that.
Knowing that I missed this absolutely broke my heart.
I was a little nervous about the high notes. This was straining my very limited vocal range.
It's true that song's not necessarily easy to sing.
That standing tall on the wings of my dream, the tall, is that was a stretch for me. I hope I did not do too much damage.
But well, I hope your vocal cords are bound for better days.
We did Standing Tall in honor of Bronson Pinchot.
We've met
Bronson Pinchot. That's right. It's Super Mega Fest, which is happening this week.
Yes. I've been watching documentaries about him since then.
Bronson Pinchot?
Yes.
Plural? How many documentaries about Bronson Pinchot are out there?
A few.
We'll have to do our top 4.5 favorite Bronson Pinchot documentaries sometime.
The Bronson Pinchot we know today make a lot more sense when you get the whole backstory.
Excellent. We did the Growing Pains theme after this, which is a duet.
That's right.
Guess who got to play the girl in the duet? And keep in mind who did not show up for rehearsal.
Carl.
Carl was the girl. This song also, there's a long version of this song. We did a long version with a bunch of lyrics that were not played on TV.
Growing Pains was one of those shows I'd turn on the TV and it'd be halfway over. So I missed the theme song a lot. Yep. I think it was just the time of day we came home from daycare or whatever.
I think one of the trivia questions that I asked... It was what actor was added to the cast of Growing Pains late in the run of the series who became a major movie star? Do you know? Major movie star was on Growing Pains.
Was it?
Was it Eddie Rabbit?
That's not who I was going to guess. I was going to guess Nicolas Cage.
That's a weird guess. Because he was already pretty successful in movies by then.
Okay.
It was Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh.
They took him in. He was like a runaway or something. They took in this young kid. Yeah.
I forgot.
Leo DiCaprio was on Growing Pains.
And I think that's the first I ever knew of him.
Well, it probably was. He was very young. Well, we did the theme song. A long, weird version of the theme song. After that, this was... we did this special, I think, for Ed's sister. Ed's younger sister was there, and she was a big fan of Punky Brewster. And so
I would have loved that.
Just for her, we did the Punky Brewster theme. That was weird.
Wonderful, I'm sure, though. How can your heart not be happy after that song?
Cute little song.
It really is.
Yeah.
No problematic lyrics.
That's true. No, pleasant enough.
That's punky power for you.
Yeah. Well, if you want to swing the other way as far as lyrics, after that, we did MASH.
Oh.
With lyrics.
Oh. Suicide is painless?
Suicide is painless. Yeah, you know.
After Punky Brewster, what is wrong with you people?
We thought, we got to slow things down and all get super depressed right now, so let's do MASH. Now, this is only half the band, because Mike and Carl have actually performed the theme from MASH at other shows previously, so they knew the song, they'd done the song. And Ed and I wanted no part of it. So I just made a run for it at that. I don't know, maybe Ed did play along on this, I can't remember, but I know I just ran off stage. I watched from the audience, and they did a beautiful job with it. But yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, the MASH theme, which sounds slow and sad even without lyrics,
yeah,
just on the show, but a beautiful song. We did Partridge Family after that. Okay, we're snapping back the other way.
Because
we're coming out of the suicide song.
This is very bipolar.
Literally, the Partridge Family says, "Come on, get happy." That's the name of the song. Okay. And I think Carl took the lead on this one.
Come on,
well.
Get happy because suicide is
painless. Yeah, come on, people. We didn't mean it. Did you watch Partridge Family?
I did not.
Well, certainly not at the time because it was on before you were born. But even in reruns?
I didn't even catch it in reruns.
It was never on in reruns as much as the Brady's, I think. It wasn't around as much.
Right.
Brady's were just omnipresent. I didn't watch a lot of Partridges as a kid either.
For the longest time, I was convinced it was a show about birds.
Well, yeah, it opens with like the opening credits are like...
It's a cartoon.
Bird cartoon.
Yep.
Yeah. That's cool. Like weird early 70s animation.
It's like a family of birds.
Yes.
I don't think I want to watch the show.
We kept the Partridge theme going after that because we rolled right into I Think I Love You.
Oh, nice.
Hit song from the Partridges.
Yes.
So this was the first case of we played something that was not a TV theme song, but it was certainly a TV theme adjacent.
Yes.
And Carl had the lead on this one as well.
Aha.
It's a cute song, though.
Yeah.
Nice poppy song. The massive hit song from the Partridges. Who was your favorite Partridge?
Danny.
Danny was your Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah.
Who still works mostly in radio these days, I think. Hmm. Yeah, he's a weird dude.
Yeah.
You say that so merrily. Yes, he is. That's why we like him.
You asked my opinion. I provided it.
There is no worse fake bass guitar playing to be found in the world than Danny Bonaducci on the Partridge Family. Watch Danny pretending to play the bass. It's remarkable. And one more song. We're just going to cover the first half of our TV theme song concert right now, but we closed out the first set. Again, you were not in the building yet. You were missing all this, but we closed out with Greatest American Hero.
Yes.
Which was also a genuine hit song in its own right. That was a number one hit song.
That song was inescapable
for a while. And I know when Stephen J. Cannell, or Cannell, I can never remember which way you pronounce it, but Stephen J. Cannell, who was the producer of Greatest American Hero, and he produced a million TV shows in the 70s and 80s and even into the 90s. That was his show. And he talks about Joey Scarberry, that's the guy that sings the song, coming into his office to show him the song. He's like, "Here's what I got. Do you think this will work?" Mm-hmm. And Stephen Cannell heard the song and said, "Joey, that's a number one song."
Right.
Yeah, I think that'll do. Such a great song. I bought the single of this song. I went to the Caldor department store in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, and I bought the 45 of Greatest American Hero in 1981.
I remember hearing it on the radio first and then seeing the TV show. Mm-hmm. So
you knew it as a song first.
I was surprised. I said, "This TV show stole this song."
Did they make a TV show out of the song?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
kind of what my, 4-year-old mind thought.
Yeah, it says he's walking on air in the lyrics. Now we have to figure out how to make a guy.
They made a whole TV show out of this song.
I guess he'll have to fly in the show that we're basing off the work of Joey Scarberry.
This whole conversation is just making me want to go back and watch that show.
Do you want to watch the whole thing? Because we just might have the complete series on DVD here in the studio.
Yeah, I do.
All right. So we're going to watch The Whole Facts of Life.
Right.
And then Whole Greatest American Hero.
Yep.
This is going to be a long, I was going to say night, but this is turning into like a week.
Yep. All of our plans are now officially canceled.
So that was a fun way to wrap up, I think. And I think we're going to wrap up the Flopcast right now, just so we don't run long right now. So I think we'll reconvene next week because we love just yammering on and on about TV shows from the 70s and 80s around here. You may have noticed. We'll run through the second set of our After These Messages concert next week.
Good plan.
How's that sound? So let's wrap up the show right now, please.
Okay. Internet notes for y'all to find us all on the internet at flopcast.net or on Twitter with our handle at flopcast, on Facebook, facebook.com/flopcast, and on Instagram, the _flopcast.
That's it. And again, a quick reminder, this week I am at Super Mega Fest in Framingham, Massachusetts. So if you happen to be at Super Mega Fest as well, I'll be wandering around. Come find me. Say hi. I will hand you a Flopcast badge ribbon with a Martian on it.
Yes, so not just any Martian.
It might be Robilar. You will not have a badge on which to hang your badge ribbon, because I don't think MegaFest does badges, but you'll have a ribbon at least.
Yes, you will.
Badgeless ribbon. Just stick it on your face.
Peace and cookies.
In a world where podcasters talk about the same old pop culture topics, two heroes must rise to bring forth a new era of podcast entertainment. The Cigar Nerds Podcast. Movie reviews, pop culture debates, news, science, and even beer reviews. We're stranger than Stranger Things and funnier than an evil sewer clown. CigarNerdPodcast.com. We all smoke down here, Georgie.
Cornflake, welcome to the secret after show.
Right, here we are.
You had another comment about that night, that concert.
The Lasting Room.
That magic night, seeing my beautiful new band after these messages performing at the Lasting Room.
The Lasting Room is just even cooler than we gave them credit for, because what I mentioned I ordered a Shirley Temple.
Yeah.
They actually gave it to me on the house. So.
Oh, they just didn't feel right charging you for, I don't even know what is in a Shirley Temple. I've never had one.
Happiness. and some seltzer water.
It's seltzer.
Grenadine.
Grenadine.
And some cherries.
Okay. I don't even know. Grenadine is just like a sweet
red
syrup.
Yep.
Yeah. And cherry.
It was delicious.
It's seltzer water?
It's usually either
is it
Sprite.
Some kind of soda. Okay. It could be a ginger ale or a Sprite or something.
Or ginger ale.
Yeah.
But it was delicious.
Yeah.
So.
And it's named after some famous actress of Eve Plum, maybe? It's named after somebody. It might be Eve Plum.
Well, that would make sense
with
the fruit reference and all.
Oh, there should be a drink called an Eve Plum.
Now that you mention it.
I wonder if there is. If there isn't, there should be.
Yeah.
We should totally invent an Eve Plum.
I want an Eve Plum.
But it's not going to be booze-free like a Shirley Temple. Our Eve Plum is going to be heavy on the booze, I assure you.
That sounds yummy.
Yeah. Oh, didn't she? Eve Plum starred in, didn't she? She made a after-school special about a teenage alcoholic.
Yes.
Back in the 70s. So this is perfect. This is all working out. We have to design a horrifying beverage called an Eve Plum.
You know who we should have design that beverage?
Who's that?
My friend Vodka.
Vodka? Okay.
We should design an Eve Plum.
Well, if Vodka makes it, you know it's going to have some vodka in it,
right.
I'm guessing.
Absolutely.
Do they make a plum vodka?
They must.
There's 1,000 different flavors of vodka.
Yeah.
I've never seen a plum vodka.
Now we have to find this out.
Yeah, Vodka would know.
There's absolutely plum wine.
Mm.
That's pretty good.
Oh, that's interesting. We could dump in some plum wine then if we need to.
Yeah.
And actual plums, you know, slice up a plum.
Or puree.
A puree of plum, sure.
Plum puree.
Yeah. Oh, we have to serve it in a George glass.
Oh, yeah.
The name of her fake boyfriend. Man, I really want to drink an Eve Plum right now. That sounds kind of naughty.
It does.
After show's going off the rails. Good thing nobody's listening.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.